KSIV now presents Encounter, a public service program of Bot Radio Network, dedicated to keeping you informed about the issues that affect your life. Now, here's today's Encounter broadcast.
My guests today have so many credentials, but the most important thing about them is they're Christians. They serve Jesus, and they live in a challenging area, Ferguson, Missouri, having to believe God every day for answers on how to become overcomers and help others learn about the overcoming power of Jesus Christ and how it can make a difference in their lives. I'd like you to meet them today. Jose Aguayo has been a friend of mine for a long time. He works with Adopt the Block in Ferguson. He also is a pastor and a chaplain for the Ferguson Police Department. And I'm so excited to have with us Ella Jones, who is the new mayor of Ferguson, the first woman mayor of Ferguson, and the first African-American mayor of Ferguson. To both of you, welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Wow, as I look at both of you and how you've been servants in our community, how has it groomed you for the challenges that you've faced now, Jose, as you've been working in Ferguson ever since the Michael Brown thing happened, and Mayor Jones, as you've kind of had to take on some new roles here? Let's start with you, Mayor Jones.
Well, I've been a Christian all my life, going to church and different Bible studies and being a pastor myself. I learned early how to serve people. And the key to any position that you have, you must be mindful of the people, and the people are the number one priority. When you are in a leadership position, such as mayor, not only do you have policy that you have to set for the community, you also have to be aware of the well-being of every citizen in the community. So moving from councilperson to mayor, it's a challenging position, but at the bottom line, the grassroots of everything is the people. And that's what I stay focused on, is the people. I pray for the people daily, and I pray for myself daily, that God will give me the wisdom to lead the people, because without him leading and guiding me, I will not be a good leader. Everything I do, everything I hope to do for the residents of Ferguson is through the will of God, and be a good mayor to the people.
Jose, when you came to the Ferguson area, God called you to Missouri. You started in the 80s with Joyce Meyer Ministries, and then various things happened since then. You're also involved overseas. You're involved, wow, in lots of places. Did you ever think that you would be a chaplain of the police department in Ferguson and some of the other positions you've held?
No, I didn't. I had no idea or plan to do any of this. God had a plan, and I just had to be obedient. I learned a long time ago I can argue with God, but eventually I always end up doing what he wants me to do.
Isn't that the truth? Mm-hmm. Isn't that the truth? So how has some of your experience helped you prepare for some of the things that you are doing today?
Well, one of the things that occurred in my lifetime, which was very helpful, I've been in ministry for 30 years or so. I'm from New York. Originally, I'm from Puerto Rico. But I was in New York during the 60s and 70s when we had unrest there. So that gave me some seeds to be able to help with this unrest that happened here in Ferguson 6 years ago. One thing that I've noticed from my experiences back in the 60s and 70s, things haven't really changed, but I have. And I've gotten a lot stronger and better because of Jesus.
What things have changed in your life in the past 6 years since you've been involved in this?
One thing that I can say is that I try, and especially with my international ministry, I don't see color. I don't want to ever see color. I want to see God's people and what God sees in them. I don't want to be influenced by their cultures or anything else. I want to be influenced by Jesus touching their lives. And basically, that's it. We have an international ministry. I touch on Haiti. Our base is in the Bahamas. We go to South America, Africa, Europe. We go to wherever God sends us. And one thing I learned a long time ago is the light shines brightest where it's the most darkest. And that's where God always sends me his worst.
Maybe you both can talk about that a little bit. The light shines brightest where it's darkest. Because it's so easy to think about the negative. Oh, our nation's falling apart. And oh, our cities are falling apart. What would you like to share about both of those areas? And I just want you all to talk about it together.
I've learned long time ago that people are not interested in how much you know until you show them how much you care. In Ferguson, we have some underserved areas. And a lot of people ask me, why are you going over to that apartment building? Or why are you going over into that ward? I said, well, that's where the people are. And they are people who are willing to listen and people who want someone to care about them. And they are good people. I find myself gravitating more to them than the people in the ward I used to serve simply because they care. They are in certain situations that the way government has things structured where they are interested in looking for a way out. People think if you give them a hand, that's fine. But people are not interested so much in a handout as they are interested in a hand up. And that's the key to being a servant. And when you are a servant leader, you go in the trenches with the people. You help to empower the people so they can live the best quality of life that they can have. There are a lot of dark spots in Ferguson, and I have had the opportunity to go there and said it go there. However, when we step in a situation, and I'm talking about Pastor Jose and myself, I always tell Pastor Jose, please don't get in trouble because of me. But we have brought light to a lot of situations. The COVID-19, there was an outbreak, and I was trying to find out how many people in apartment complex had been exposed to COVID-19. And the only one that gave me an answer was Pastor Jose. And I said, well, what can we do about it? And we worked together and we brought a testing site there and we planning on doing more. And the people were pretty happy about it. Not only did we go to one apartment complex, but we went to a second apartment complex. Wherever there is darkness, I believe we the light.
Jose, with Adopt the Block, that was through the Billy Graham Association, and I've worked with you quite a bit with Adopt the Block. Tell us a little bit about Adopt the Block and how that's changed lives in the Ferguson area.
Usually when there's a deployment from Billy Graham Ministries, we go to an area that we've been invited to, and before we leave, we have always accumulated names of people that have accepted Christ or accepted prayer, and we like to leave this for the local church so they can disciple these people. When we were ready to leave, they said, listen, we got to go. It's been several weeks. We have to leave Ferguson, get a church. And I couldn't find one that was readily available to do discipleship. So therefore, what I did was I told them, I said, there was a program God put it in my heart that we started back in the Dream Center 20 years ago. Well, a little longer now. Adopt a Block. I didn't originate this program. It was originated by Tommy Barnett and the L.A. Dream Center, which is still going on. So I said, we could take this concept, change it a little bit. And what it basically is, a church will volunteer, a ministry will volunteer to adopt one block. And what they have to do is go to that block once a week, knock on the door, just say hello. That's it. You don't talk about Jesus. You don't talk about the Bible. You just say hello and listen to what the needs are. And that's how you begin a discipleship. You and your husband have been very kind and gracious and done some of the training for us when we do a training class on how to deal with the homeless and also how to deal with people that have suffered through handicaps.
And it's all in relationship building, isn't it, Jose?
That's what it is. Because of the COVID-19, we have to do social distancing. So we have to change Adopt the Block a little bit. And instead of going door to door, what we've done is we came up with the concept of putting door hangers on every door. And on this door hanger, we have on here that the person, if you have a need, if you need to share, if you have a prayer request, please call us. And there's two phone numbers that they can call. And I've got volunteers to answer those calls 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But these are the things that we're just trying to change with the times. And now it's not Adopt the Block. It's Adopt the Block by phone, which is a new concept.
Adopt the Block by phone. And how can people get a hold of you if they have a prayer request?
Well, they have two prayer lines here that they can use. It's 314-915-7730. Or the second line is 314-915-7784. That's 314-915-7784.
Mayor Jones, tell us a little bit about your background and some of the things that God has used to prepare you as you are in such a pivotal place today as mayor of Ferguson.
I grew up in the South. I grew up in New Orleans, Louisiana. I pastored 22 years in an African Methodist Episcopal church. And I learned one thing, that people will be people. When I was young, I can recall the fact that in the evening, we lived in a mixed neighborhood. And all the kids would get out and play in the street and have a good time. And some of us would all do our homework together. But in the morning, we were separated. The white kids went to their school. The black kids went to their school. Couldn't figure out why was there such a great separation. Simply because we could play in the evening, but we couldn't be educated together. And as I grew up in New Orleans, I noticed that racism was very forward. And when I say it was very forward, you knew that the white people didn't like you, and they would tell you so. But as I migrated up to St. Louis, the racism becomes subtle. And when I say it's subtle, you would notice what the things will people say. Some people call it throwing shade, but some of the comments white folks will say to black people and even to myself. For example, my degree's in chemistry. Most of the time when I would go into various labs, they was like, I didn't know black people knew enough about mathematics and physics to become a chemist. Just subtle things. But when you build a relationship with people, it takes time. Time is the greatest healer. Time is the best way you can build relationship. And if you look at the fact that in a marriage, when you first get married, you all in love. And that's when you have to make a decision. I'm going to stick this out. I made a vow and I'm going to work at it. And that's what I think a relationship is. When all the fun and all the hoopla is gone, can I stick?
Can you stick?
Can I stick?
I'm going to come back to that point.
We've got to take a break, but we'll be back.
I'm talking with Mayor Ella Jones, Mayor of Ferguson, Missouri, and Jose Aguayo, prominent pastor there, working with the police department as chaplain, and Adopt the Block, and much more. I'm Judy Redlick. This is Encounter. Come back, won't you?
If you have comments or have a show suggestion for Encounter, I'd love for you to email me at jredlickspeaks@gmail.com. jredlickspeaks@gmail.com.
I'm Judy Redlick. My guests are Mayor Ella Jones of Ferguson, Missouri, and Pastor Jose Aguayo, who's been working in the Ferguson area for the past 6 years. They both have rich histories, not only in St. Louis, but in other states, and the challenges they face as African Americans. Mayor Jones, how did you deal with that as a chemist when you heard those overtones and felt that separateness?
Well, as being an African American woman and being in
a
field that was predominantly males, I've learned that if you could make a person smile, it's a big difference. And talk to them about things that matter to them, because I always try to find something good about someone so I could talk to them. And all men are proud of their children. And so when you ask them, how are your children doing, that seemed to break some of those barriers. And they're willing to share with you about their children. And they began to realize, she's not bad at all. However, I had to always be the very best chemist. I always had to go over and beyond what was called my job description. And when people realized that I took just as much pride in my work as the next person, then some of those barriers began to fall.
So as we relate that to today in relationships, you mentioned sticking it out and all of that. And so often relationships are so fragmented today. Do kids know what it's really like to have strong relationships?
From what I've seen, Judy, you got to realize that nowadays technology has taken the place of people and of parents. And you have households where both parents are working, both professionals, and sometimes they're just working because they have to both work. Something has to give. Having a dinner together every evening as a family doesn't exist that much anymore. On Sundays, when families got together to go and fellowship together and worship together, that doesn't happen anymore. I've got many families now who the father goes to one direction, the mother goes the other, and the kids go to someplace else. That they're following either what is being preached or they're following the music, the praise and worship or whatever. But the families are torn apart. And then when you go in there, there's no such thing as opening a Bible. You take your phone out. But when you take out your phone, you're texting and everything else. Technology is interfering with a lot of things that we're supposed to be doing nowadays. I think the biggest and the most important of all of this is let's take the Christian body. We need to get out there and be heard. Last night I spoke at a church. They wanted me to talk about racism. And I asked one question. I said, before we get started, are you Christians? They said, yes. I said, okay. It's one body. We don't need to talk about race. And that's basically what it is. We're one body. We need to start acting like one body because one part of the body hurts, the whole body hurts. That's what the word tells us. Let's take God's word for what it means and what it does. Let's go out there and share God's love. It's about sharing the love of Christ. God said in his word, Jesus' last commandment, love thy neighbor as thyself. The Dr. Block program is loving somebody next door. Just going and saying hello opens many doors because you're showing somebody that you care for them. And that's what we need to do as a body. Go out there and start saying, hello, how are you? How are you doing? And caring for that person.
Mayor Jones, what do you think? What are your thoughts on this whole issue?
Well, like you said, it starts loving your neighbors. It starts with having conversations with your neighbors, courageous conversations, impactful conversations, because people live next door to each other and they don't even know each other. They just wave and just keep going.
Yeah, that's true. So what are some courageous and impactful questions you can ask to build those relationships?
Like Pastor Jose said, are you a Christian? Have you been born again? Do you believe there is a higher power? And I know when I interact with my neighbors, we talk about what's going on in Ferguson. However, we always come back to why we love the Lord. That's the key to everything. Our job is not to try to convince anyone that they need Christ in their life. But my job, I believe, is let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. In other words, I lead by example. If I want you to be good to me, then I'll be good to you. And when we start living quality lives and start having people to understand that my life is no better than yours, but I am just as good as you are. We live in here together, so we might as well start working together, start talking about things that bother us. And only when we can start having impactful conversations, courageous conversations, only then that we can start changing the hearts of man. When a person's heart is changed, they do better, and they begin to live a different quality of life. I remember right after the Michael Brown fatal police shooting, the first thing the DOJ did was bring in people to come and have conversations with the community. And I believe that needs to return where we have these conversations, where people can speak and be heard and people can understand, oh, I didn't know I made you feel that way. How can I do it differently? So it's going to the conversations.
Are there areas in the United States where conversations are happening and people are making progress?
I'm sure there are. You look at the protesters right now, you see all kinds of colors, ages of people. That's a wonderful thing. People of all levels of life and culture, of all different types of backgrounds, getting together for one cause. Hey, let's talk, let's communicate. We have to abolish certain things and establish other things.
Mayor Jones, there have been protests throughout the years. Do you think this one is different?
This protest is different than others simply because we have more young people of all ages, all colors, all nationalities coming together and saying, we need to stop this racism, the injustice against African-American males. It's a big difference now. And out of this protest, hopefully, we will have people who will step up and run for office, get people to vote, and change some of these laws that have been on the books that are outdated and start working in their communities to make it a better place for all.
So how can we keep the protesters from tearing down and help them to see that building up is the only way to have a peaceful protest?
Judy, I can tell you from experience for the last few years and to all the cities that I've been visited that have had protesters and unrest, not these protesters are not the ones that are causing all the trouble. There's only a few that are usually from out of town that come in and pay to cause havoc. This country was based on protest. That's our heritage. And it's our right to do so peacefully. But when you have outsiders coming in to influence that, that's where the problem comes in. But the thing that makes a difference is when the protesters and we get together and we talk and we unite and move forward together, we can stop all of this from happening and say, okay, let's move forward in the right way.
How can we get through the fears and the misconceptions we have about one another?
Talking, sharing. I love different cultures. I love to ask people about them. And when I train my chaplains, I always tell them, respect other cultures. Talk to them. Ask them. Don't be afraid to ask a question because they would love to share. They'd love to talk about their cultures, their food, the ways they live. Every country I've ever been to, every society I've been, every religion I've been privileged to talk with, all want the same thing. The best for their family, the best for their children, and peace. Let's forget this politics nonsense. Let's go back to Christ. Okay, let's talk about love. And it's a walk, as the mayor was saying. It's a walk and not a talk. Walk it. People will see it when you're walking in love. You don't have to say I'm walking in love. They will see it. And that's what makes a big difference.
So the steps that need to happen, Mayor Jones, as you are mayor of Ferguson and you see not only the stuff happening in Ferguson, but all over the nation, what steps do you think there need to be to stop all the unrest?
Well, people have to understand that it's okay to protest. However, once you finish protesting, you need to sit down at the table. You got to get to the table and talk. You cannot continue to shout at the system. You have to take some time and sit down and talk and reason and see how we're going to change some policies to make it better. And as far as protesters who are the ones that are very destructive, they fail to realize they come into our community. They destroy our community. 6 o'clock the next morning, the people who live in that community have to clean up the broken glass. And they are wondering, why would people come into our community and destroy it? We're the ones who have to live there. We're the ones who have to rebuild. We're the ones have to clean up and suffer together to make sense of what went wrong and why people are so determined to tear the city down. And only when people understand that their destruction is not bringing peace, but it's just making matters worse for the people who live there. So if you're so angry with me and you're willing to break out my windows, why is it you cannot say I'm angry with you? Why we can't sit down and talk? Why we can't reason together? If you got to pick up a brick to show me you angry, you're not hurting me as the owner of the building, but you're hurting all my employees who don't have a job after you have destroyed the building. So my thing is, come to the table, let's talk, and that's the only way we're going to change some policies.
So how can we pray?
We can pray for the unification of one mind, one thought. It could be different ideas, but let's at least sit down and talk about these ideas. For communication, Was it a great leader once said, a soft answer turns away wrath?
Mm-hmm. A harsh tongue, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, in Proverbs, yes. He talks about that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Do you think we're closer to revival because of all this unrest, or do you think we're farther away from it?
Right now, Judy, we're closer to the end of the Bible than we are at the beginning of it. That's one answer. People talk about revivals, but you know something? Revival has to start with the right hearts. Revival has to start with an initiation of something, a reconciliation first of the body. We don't have that. We don't even have pastors that sit together and talk. We need to start talking together as one. But let's put all this aside and just be a loving brother and sister to help each other.
Mm-hmm.
This is Encounter. I'm Judy Redlich. I really appreciate both of you coming and sharing from your heart and how you see it and where you see it in the future. And I hope you've learned something from this show as well, as you've listened and heard Jose's heart and Mayor Jones's heart. How can your heart change so that you can continue to make a difference as a Christian in our hurting world? I'm Judy Redlich. This has been Encounter. Thanks a lot for joining me. See you next time.
Encounter is you and the issues, where the facts and opinions make you an informed citizen of St. Louis. Thank you for your participation. Let a friend know about this talk and issues feature of Bot Radio Network and KSIV. Then join us next time for Encounter.